Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg, that's me, ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
It's harder to focus than ever these days. Thankfully, C4 has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus, containing 200 milligrams of natural caffeine, a blend of vitamins and zero sugar. It was formulated to support your well-being and help you feel your best, all while enhancing mental focus. From your brain to your body, C4 Smart Energy does it all. And tastes amazing. Look for Smart Energy in the beverage aisle at your local Kroger, Albertsons, and Safeway grocery stores. C4 Smart Energy. Stay focused.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is the Ion Travel Podcast with CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg, presented by Clear. Enroll today at clearme.com/Peter and try Clear at the busiest airports nationwide.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Ion Travel Podcast. This week, a look at the still confusing pandemic travel rules around the world. I'll speak with Leo Morani from The Economist magazine on the ever-changing protocols and how to navigate them. And it's also a bit confusing at 35,000 feet, as commercial airline pilot Greg Morris reports. And then we'll talk about the growth of travel agents as a direct result of the pandemic and why this has happened. The answer is actually quite simple and might actually surprise you, according to Matthew Upchurch, the CEO of Virtuoso. First up, from The Economist, Leo Morani.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Peter.
So how bad is it?
Peter, it's a nightmare. It's a complete nightmare. In the past month, I have been in five or six countries, and every country has its own rules. They're baffling. You have to waste enormous amounts of time looking this stuff up, filling in various baffling forms, grappling with different people's terrible technology. And by the time you get to the check-in gate, do you remember, Peter, in the old days, you showed up at the check-in gate. Let's say you're traveling internationally. You show your passport, you show your boarding gate. That was it. Your boarding pass. That was it. Now you show those two things. You also show some silly forms. Often you have to show a negative COVID test. Then you have to show your vaccination status. Sometimes they don't recognize it because of which country you're from. It takes forever. It's baffling. You can't get anywhere.
Well, let me give you one more baffling thing. I've been traveling about 300,000 miles since July of 20. And I have filled out more forms than I think anybody. I'm amazed I even have a nose left from all the testing. But here's my question on the forms. You're on an airplane, and the flight attendants come down the aisle and say, you must fill out this form before you land. It's a requirement. So you fill it out. When you land, there's another form to fill out. You fill that out. Many times they'll ask for a QR code. You have to fill something out online. You have, of course, as you mentioned, your vaccine proof, which would be your vaccination cards, or in some cases, a digital pass. But here's the crazy part. You filled out all these forms that you were told you must fill out. And then nobody asks to see them.
It is so frustrating. It is so frustrating. The amount of money I have spent on COVID tests that nobody has looked at. Hundreds upon hundreds of pounds, Peter. So here's what this is.
And I'm not suggesting that anybody does this, but based on the forms that you get and the way that they're emailed to you, it seems to me they are easily forgeable.
Mm-hmm. They are easily forgeable.
And which counteragent is going to know the difference? That worries me.
So, Peter, you remember after 9/11, we introduced all of these rules. And again, in 2006, we introduced all of these rules. And we're adhering to them even today. The likelihood of something exactly like 9/11 happening is very, very slim. But we adhere to these rules because we're used to them. In fact, I distinctly remember at a previous job, a younger worker was shocked that they didn't ask her to take off her shoes. And the older workers, amongst whom I must sadly count myself, were reasonably amused about this. Similarly, what we're looking at now is theater.
I agree with you. Look, let's go back to the shoe bomber, right? On that flight from Madrid to Miami, or from Amsterdam to Miami, I forget which one it was. And thank God he got caught, and thank God nothing happened. But we've been taking off our shoes ever since.
In Europe, thankfully, we're not. But yes, absolutely.
I mean, we're sort of fighting the last war.
But that's precisely it, Peter. In America, you have to take off your shoes, right? In Europe, you do not have to take off your shoes. In much of Asia, you don't have to take off your shoes. The problem here is the lack of, not just the lack of sense in that, are these things proportional and do they make sense to solve the problems we're trying to solve? But the other problem, a sort of much more obvious problem, is the lack of standards. To get around the world, you have passports, right? Like, you have a passport, I have a passport. Some guy in Somalia has a passport. Some guy in Afghanistan has a passport. When you show up at the border in London, whether you have a passport from Somalia or from Canada, they look at it, they accept it, because all passports adhere to a certain standard. The big problem with this whole vaccine stuff is that there are no standards. Everybody's just doing their whole thing, which is why we're in the mess that we're in. Everyone's doing their whole thing on what vaccine you've got and how to verify that. Everybody's doing their own thing on what the requirements are to enter a country. Nobody can agree on what actually is an epidemiologically sound way of ensuring that the people who enter pose low risk, I should say, to the society in which they're about to come in.
And so I have to ask the devil's advocate question. Given the situation that you've just reported on, we're talking, by the way, to Leo Morani from The Economist, what's the upside here? When is it going to get any better?
So it will get better. It will get better, I can tell you that. And I will tell you why. Like you, I have traveled a lot over the past year and a half during the pandemic, and it was a lot worse. It was a lot worse before this. I'll give you the example of Britain, which used to require 3 tests after you came back, one on day 2, one on day 8, and one on day 5 that was optional. You could pay extra to do that if you wanted to leave quarantine early. Now, largely, you don't have to quarantine so long as you can show proof of vaccination. So that's a big improvement, right? Other improvements are happening. The European Union, as you point out, every country has different requirements. Nonetheless, the one way in which it is unified is that it has a single unified health pass, which is fine for Europeans traveling within Europe. It's not fine for others. If I go in there as a Brit with my NHS app, that until very recently was not recognized. Now it is. So very slowly what is happening is different countries around the world are starting to bilaterally recognize each other's documents. The problem is that these are bilateral things, and that's no way to solve a global problem. So here's what I think the world needs. Back in 1920, after the last massive pandemic and after the First World War, governments around the world had, you know, put up restrictions on their borders and stopped people from coming in. And it became really messy. So in 1920 or 21, I forget which one, the League of Nations, which is the precursor to the United Nations, organized an international convention on passports and travel documents. And they came up with a standard, which is why today, all of us can travel around the world with our documents no matter where they're issued. And that's what we need now for vaccine passports, because I think we need to accept, Peter, these things are not going anywhere. They're not going away. What we need to do is make them better and interoperable.
And of course, we need to at least try to explain to governments that there's an entrepreneurial opportunity here to work together to come up with this one common thread, because it's not a question of how much something costs. It's really a question of how something is worth, because they're losing out with so many people who are waiting hours and hours and hours before we even had the opening of the borders, and now it's a question of who's going to honor documents and in what countries.
Absolutely, I am traveling to the United States in a couple of days, and I think I've done everything right. You know, I think I've taken the correct tests. I think I've uploaded the right documents. I genuinely have no idea. I will go to Heathrow. And we will see, you know, I might still be here at the end of the day.
Well, listen, the bottom line is more people are traveling. It's all about the process now. Not that much about the destination. We can't wait to go. But the subtext is, I don't know what I'm going to be accepted for. I don't know what I'm going to be exempt for. I don't want to go somewhere and get stuck and not get home. So maybe I just won't go. That's what I'm hearing.
And that's the biggest problem, the amount of grit this has thrown in the machinery of global commerce. I mean, when I'm not even getting into the massive size of the travel and tourism industry, okay? Just families cannot see each other. Businesses are struggling because they cannot sort of go about and do the things that businesses need to do. It's slowing everything down. All of us, exactly as you describe, are thinking twice. Do I really want to deal with all this hassle for a weekend trip to Spain or just a week in the US? Maybe it's easier to just stay at home.
And at what point, we're talking to Leah Morani from The Economist, at what point do the economic consequences take precedent and force people into common sense decision?
Peter, if only it were that simple. I mean, at the end of the day, it's politics, right? And you can't do things, no matter how sensible they are, if it's going to annoy a lot of your electorate. So I think this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. Here's my personal view. This is not a reported view. It's just my personal analysis of how things are going. I think 2022 will continue to be hard. 2021 was in many ways worse than last year. Last year, when the pandemic started and after the first few lockdowns, it was still relatively easy to get around the world. This year with Delta, it became a lot harder. I think next year will be a process of slowly reopening. Also, to come back to your question about when does common sense and the economics take over, we're already seeing this happen in some countries, specifically Asian countries. Thailand, after, you know, pretty strict restrictions, is now allowing people from some 60-odd countries to come in without quarantine. Other Southeast Asian countries are doing the same.
My thanks to Leo. Short staffing, longer hours, planes out of position and crews out of sequence. And the airlines say they are now hiring. But will it be too little too late? Pilot Greg Morris with the report. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So let's first start out with staffing, because the staffing issue was with us way before, you know, the holiday period. It was way before the summer. We have staffing issues at airlines, at airports, the TSA, hotels, restaurants. But as it applies to your profession, you know, we saw what happened a couple of weeks ago with the American Airlines meltdown. It happened to Southwest. It happened to Spirit. And then what I've seen in the last couple of weeks is American trying to do two things at once. One, removing a lot of the routes that they announced. At last count, American had reduced their flight schedules by 26 cities. United pulled back on 10, actually 11, but then they added one back. Delta's removing some as well. That's part A. And part B, of course, is they still have to deal with the staffing issue. And on the staffing issue, you know, as recently as what, last week, American was offering some wild bonus to their pilots to come back and work over the holidays, which the pilots union rejected. Fill me in. How bad is this holiday season going to be?
Well, you know, I've always said I wish I had that crystal ball, but apparently I don't have. And people in my industry wish they had that same crystal ball. So as far as where things are going and what things are going to look like by the end of the holiday season, it's still a little bit murky in that fictitious crystal ball. I mean, the airlines are scrambling to meet rising demand in an awakening world as we approach the extremely busy travel period. TSA numbers are back to nearly where they were pre-pandemic-wise in 2019. So we're looking at just domestically 1.6 to over 2 million passengers traveling through the system every day. But yeah, the meltdowns have occurred straight across the board, particularly most recently at American and Southwest. And incentive bonus holiday pay and incentive programs have been put forth for some of the work groups. Like you said, Peter, the flight attendants have at American a incentive program in place. The pilots do not. Southwest was able to implement incentive programs throughout the holiday throughout all their work groups. How's that going to play out? It's still unclear. American got to me through their PR department this afternoon, and they are touting the fact that 1,800 American Airlines flight attendants are now back from their leave this month. Another 800 American flight attendants expected back by the end of December. In addition, 600 new hire flight attendants. Southwest touting also big bursts in hiring as they work through the fall and the holiday period. So how's it going to play out? It's unclear. I guess we're all holding our breath. You know, you got to remember, Peter, that a lot of these work groups are also negotiating contracts long term. And that's always a tricky feat.
It is. It is. But, you know, the question is, do we survive the holidays? But even more than that, do we survive the rest of this year? Because what we're talking about is, you know, all these foreign flyers who are coming in who are fully vaccinated, taking a normally slow month of November and December, with the exception of Thanksgiving, through the roof in terms of numbers. So how do we get through all this?
Yeah, well, you know, so look at what Delta put forth when I approached them to put this segment together. Delta's executive team, their CEO, says that they're taking a measured approach to rebuild the Delta network. They claim they're not going to grow their network any bigger or any faster than the perceived demand on the horizon. And they were pointing to the pitfalls that you noted at American and Southwest. United also this afternoon told me the same thing. They're going to take a similar approach, carefully matching their network growth with the anticipated demand, which is why everybody has really come to the realization that the staffing isn't quite where they had anticipated it would be. And so they've scaled back on some of the routes to kind of try and avoid some of the negative headlines that made a splash recently with American and Southwest.
I gotcha. But still, you know, reducing those flights cuts out service to a lot of cities that used to go through their hubs. And now they're disenfranchised. It's sort of a mess. It goes back to what you and I talked about a couple of months ago, when every airline flooded the zone to Bozeman, Montana, and 200,000 seats a month into that small town, which only has about 250 hotel rooms. It didn't make any sense. And of course, it was inevitable that they'd start pulling out as soon as they showed up.
And it's a little bit of double speak. So United says that they're going to match, growth with demand, but they also said that 88% is where they're going to be of their flying when compared to 2019 for November. And they're going to be up to 91% of their domestic capacity compared to 2019 moving into the Christmas holiday period. So I'm a little bit worried and remain cautiously optimistic that the executive teams and the logistics and planning teams are in sync with what they need to do as far as ensuring that routing matches staffing.
Well, you know what? It didn't happen very well 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or 4 years ago. I have no idea why I would believe it would happen now. You couple that with rising fuel prices, rising airfare prices, and where we are right now, fares are at historic lows in Europe. What a great time to come overseas and avoid the mess. Otherwise, we're all going to be in a remake of planes, trains, and automobiles in just a couple of days.
And you know, traditionally, we used to look at fuel prices and traditional markers. Now, we also have to look at things like vaccine mandates. You know, United's CEO, Scott Kirby, made a strong move in implementing the vaccination mandate before the federal mandate to vaccinate came down upon the other airlines, right? He said he was going to take that measure to ensure that everyone was safe traveling, and that includes the customers at United and the working group. But the other companies, Delta, Southwest, American, right? They're implementing a vaccination deadline with a work group that's not entirely on board with that vaccination mandate. So that's another unknown in terms of how that's going to play out.
My thanks to Greg. The chaos that ensued in travel during the pandemic allowed the law of unintended consequences to work once again. This time it proved the worth of travel agents in more ways than one. Matthew Upchurch, the CEO of Virtuoso, has a real-time update on the resurgence of the travel advisor.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, Peter. Good to see you again.
So you and I share something, among other things, so in the interest of full disclosure, that 21 years ago, we were both here at the Hotel Imperial in Vienna when your group changed its name, which was a sort of a watershed moment for you, to Virtuoso, and it really started putting you on the map.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I had been serving this network of travel advisors for 13 years by then. And in the late 90s, you know, everybody was saying, all the pundits were saying that travel agents are dinosaurs, everything's going to go online. And I'm like, wait a minute, but isn't this the generation that invented the personal chef, the personal shopper, the personal trainer? I said, look, there'll be a lot of stuff that goes online, but real, true travel advising, travel designing, I didn't think so. And so for me, I'd been really frustrated, and, you know, API Travel Consultants wasn't exactly the most evocative evocative name of a group. API, in fact, API turned out to be the gasoline stations in Italy.
I just thought they were an electrical contractor.
Or the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, or all kinds of them. But we ended up deciding, really quite frankly, at the last minute, I did not know that our name was going to be Virtuoso. We had one of our executives that actually came up with it, and I approved the name change. New Year's Eve of 1999, and the next meeting that we had on the books was Vienna. So I have enough West Coast in me to say the stars aligned and everything, whatever, because can you imagine what better city in the world to rebrand yourself as Virtuoso than Vienna? And, you know, and we did it because we wanted a name that really shone a spotlight on the definition of it, right? It's obviously most credited with music, but if you look up the definition, it means somebody at the top of their art. And I always felt that, you know, that what our Virtuoso advisors today are, you know, they're not processors, they're not bookers, they're special in the art of travel, which is all the nuances, the design, the pacing, the all those types of things.
You know, I'm still hearing from people, and I'm still surprised by it when they say, "Oh, travel agents, I thought they died," and I go, "Where have you been?" If anything proved the value of travel agents, it was the pandemic.
Yeah, and you know, part of it is some of these things just, you know, some of these things die hard, right? I mean, they take a long time. Part of it is because we've always used certain terms that sometimes are over-encompassing. I mean, you had, and I even have a hard time sometimes saying it because it's like there were very decent people doing a lot of the what we would call the regular travel agent work, which you know, just basically
processing booking, a ticket.
Processing tickets. Well, yeah, that goes away with DIY and the internet, et cetera, but the design.
You were the victim at one point, at least the industry was, of the convergence of technology and perception. Mm-hmm. Because people said, well, if I can do it online, mm-hmm. then I guess I can do everything online.
Right.
And this is not the first time my audience has heard me say this. I'm the biggest fan of a conversation. And by the way, the people who work for me, I have to beat them over the head to say, no, you don't stand in line. You talk to somebody. Right. You don't go online unless you want to research somebody's phone number to call them.
Right. Well, and also, the misnomer here is I also think that there is a couple of things that, you know, people used to think, well, people who go to travel agents because they don't know any better, right? They don't know how to research, whatever. No, actually, we serve some of the best traveled, most connected, you know, worldly people in the world. They're the ones that actually use it because they realize that a really good travel advisor today is a collaborator, right? So you know a lot of stuff. I know a lot of stuff. But my job is to, like, follow up. You may know this hotel or you may know that hotel. I know the GM. We spend literally tens of thousands of hours a year networking our travel advisors with the best product, you know, the best hotels, the best people all over the world, so that it's not only do I know that product, but I actually know the people that are running it.
But it's not just hotels.
No, hotels, cruise lines, you know, safari companies, outfitters, all kinds of people all over the world. And I've always said, you know, you can't take the human out of humanity. If I have a personal relationship with you and then I send you a client, you know, there's just something, it changes the way people travel.
Of course, the one area that you didn't mention was airlines. They need all the help in the world. And by the way, I wish I had better relations with the airlines because I can't keep up with, here we are in Vienna and I want to talk to somebody at Austrian Airlines. They don't even get back to you. I want to talk to somebody at British Airways. They don't get back to you. It's sort of like, and that creates a real problem for all of your clients. It creates a problem for me. Because are the airlines in the travel business or are they in the human cargo business? And I think they have to come to grips with that because at a certain point, when you want to realize why airlines fail, mm-hmm. it's when they start making decisions based on that.
Well, I think, you know, for us, we have relationships with them and we do use the technology and it's being able to. So a lot of times the reason that, you know, our advisors is they do a lot of DIY technology and a lot of advisors just are better at knowing all the tricks and things that you need to do and waivers and favors and things like that.
I'll give you a great online example that happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. I was flying from Los Angeles to San Francisco, 38-minute flight. Of course, the airline schedules it for an hour and a half, but it's a 38-minute flight. I booked that one online because it was $98. Who cares? My camera guy wanted to fly on Southwest. I was on American. He books it on Southwest, and his round trip was like $130. Fine, great. It's a 6 o'clock in the morning flight for me, a 7 o'clock in the morning flight for him, right? Both going to San Francisco. At 2:30 in the morning, I get an email from Southwest saying they've canceled his flight. I immediately tell him, and I said, look, just book yourself on the American flight and go with me. So I said, get him on the phone. He doesn't go on the phone. He goes online. Now, Matthew, I'm not making this up. I'm going to talk about it later in the show. He goes online and is shocked. The only fare he can get on a 38-minute flight from Los Angeles to San Francisco on the flight I'm already on comes across online as $1,624. That's it. I said, no, pick up the phone. Because the algorithms in their computer system realize if it's a last-minute flight, gouge them, right? But if you call somebody on the phone, the inventory that they're looking at on their screen or your travel advisor is looking at on their screen is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, those algorithms are generated to maximize revenue. And, you know, they're they're probably thinking that's, you know, a business person and needs to go last minute. So, I mean, that's no, that's the way the system works. But again, that's why having travel advisors that know what they're doing, what they've done, knowing the, tricks and things about all that type of stuff helps out a lot.
Of course, the real definition of service and great quality of service is not in the delivery of the service, it's in the recovery.
Recovery.
And so if the, you know what hits the fan and you have a hurricane coming in, or you have a pandemic, or you have civil disturbance, that's where your guys excel, because they not only have to get you out, they still want to be able to save the day and get you somewhere else.
No, I mean, during the, I mean the number of stories about what our advisors did when the pandemic hit, you know, are incredible. I mean, the hours they stayed up all night, all the things they do, repatriating clients, doing all some stuff is
and
amazing.
They didn't get paid for that.
No, they didn't get paid for that. And in fact, but good travel advisors, they don't look at it as a transaction. They look at it as lifetime value of a client, right? The relationship, the referrals they get. But I will say this very openly. I've actually told our advisors, this is also a time, because it's pretty stressful to be, you know, to be an advisor right now with all the protocols and all this stuff, whatever. So I also, you know, also say make sure that you actually deal with clients that really appreciate what you do. A lot of great advisors today do charge fees and they do, you know, do some things like that. But we also want to make sure that, that you've got to have a relationship with your advisor that is, you know, rational and respectful.
Yes. And if the audience thinks, and we'll talk about that a little later, but if the audience thinks that they have to go to their wallet to breathe, if the audience thinks that it's not about the fee that you charge, right? But if the audience thinks that they, you know, it's the resort fee or the destination fee, for lack of a better word, all of a sudden a 5-star hotel, just when they do that, becomes a 4-star hotel. Or a 4-star becomes a 3-star. And what I'm seeing out there now is a lot of 3-star hotels bringing back that dreaded resort fee or the destination fee. And the audience is now speaking with their wallet. Yep. They're going, great, I'm not staying at the 3-star. I'm either dropping down to 1 or I'm moving up to 5.
Yeah, exactly. That makes, but, you know, that brings me back to the whole thing about, like, what you would say, you know, and the things that advisors charge for nowadays. I've always felt that Warren Buffett had the best quote. Price is what you pay, value is what you get. You know, over the years, as I've seen, you know, the online revolution and, you know, you can get information and everything. What stresses our customers out, what stresses people out today is not the answer I was able to find, is what question did I not ask? And again, that goes to, you know, that is part of the value when you work with a really good collaborative type travel advisor. It's those questions. A lot of times we train, a lot of times our training for our advisors, whether it's a destination or a type of product like cruising or adventure or whatever, a lot of the training is, what are the right questions to ask the customer to allow them to make informed decisions?
It's like if you're going online, as an example, to get a hotel room, what's the first thing you see that gets your attention? The rate. Okay, most people are dissatisfied by that. They got the answer. They based their decision on that rate. But they forgot to ask the questions, which, by the way, you cannot ask online.
Right.
Can my kids stay free? Will you throw in free wireless?
Right.
Would you get rid of those $2 or the $2 $9 bottles of water?
Right.
What about parking? Where can I go to get X? Who do I know to be able to check in late or check out late? None of those things, you can't get that online. Plus, it's the insurance that comes up. You can't complete the transaction unless you opt in or opt out of the insurance. You have no idea what you're covered for. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what you're not covered for. That's where the travel advisors come in, because at least you can ask them the questions and then get the answers you really needed.
Right. And here's the other side. We don't deal with everybody. You know, the number one, in all my years of representing travel advisors, the number one, quote unquote, I gotcha, has always been, well, don't travel agents actually and travel advisors deal with the people that give them the most commission? No, actually the opposite is true, because we're dealing with some of the most sophisticated, well-informed, internet-savvy consumers in the history of the planet. It's exactly the opposite. We deal with the people that actually deliver time and time again, the people who, when something goes, you know, it's travel. It's not if something goes wrong. When something goes wrong, how do they fix it?
Yeah.
And therefore, when we go back to those people, we're able to get better service, do more business, and therefore, that's how we make a living, because we don't try to deal with everybody that's out there. We really spend a lot of time focusing on having the right partners.
And of course, hotels, airlines, cruise lines, safari companies don't really survive because you went once. They survive because you come back.
That's exactly right.
So what's going on now? Because, you know, we're all talking about service. You have one big hotel chain that says, you know what, we're thinking of eliminating housekeeping because our guests tell us they don't want it. What would they have been smoking?
Well, I think what's going to be interesting is there are some pandemic-induced excuses. I think there's...
I call it pandemic-induced accountant orgasms. Because...
Well, you can get away with that. I can't.
Yeah, but you're laughing because you agree with me because they're using the pandemic as an excuse and such. And I understand why, because they have staffing issues, et cetera. Yeah. But you can't just cut service and then not adjust your price, right? I mean, the point is, if you're not going to charge, if you're not going to have housekeeping, then why am I paying this rate? If you don't drop your rate, then you do you make housekeeping a la carte? I mean, it changes the nature of hospitality. Right.
Well, and I think, you know, I think you're going to have some short-term and then longer-term, you know, perspectives here. I mean, you know, brands, you know, you'll have some short-term situations where there'll be, you know, look at some of the rates in the U.S. because, you know, Europe wasn't open. And so, you know, some of the rates in some of the U.S. cities and some of the places were just astronomical because law of supply and demand. But as things start to normalize and open up, you know, I think some of these practices, one of the things that we always tell our property, our hotels is, you know, do one of two things. Either only provide, you know, only open up the amount of inventory that you can really handle at that level of service, or be really transparent about what is going on and what will be there, and allow there. It's not about whether it happens. It's just,
how do you adjust?
How do I adjust? And let me know about it. Let me make an informed decision.
And that's the problem I'm seeing everywhere. You know, I remember during the beginning of the pandemic, you remember these words, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. What happened to those words, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a staffing problem and you have no housekeeping, you only have one person working in the restaurant, you can't do room service, all you have to do is tell us.
Yep. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have actually been, you know, really great about that as long as they know about it.
Right. And that's the problem is they don't really tell you.
Yeah.
I know. And it gets worse because they then want to continue to charge the same rate. And, you know, I don't need a calculator to figure out the basic math concepts here.
Well, the other thing, you know, you made me think of something that I haven't actually talked about in a long time, but it reminded me of something that actually, we actually have some data that shows that the overall satisfaction, like, for example, something like a safari, right? Something a little more complicated, but even in simpler things, where when you had a really good advisor and they really, truly gave you a debrief, like, I love Africa, right? It's one of my favorite destinations. There are these things called tsetse flies that hurt when they bite you. I just want to know about them, right? And it's interesting that when you have an advisor that is able to kind of really tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly, what ended up happening is the overall satisfaction rate of customers was better when they had an advisor, because when they did everything online and everything was rosy and wonderful and da-da-da-da-da, I have to deal with those anticipated. I can't anticipate. Therefore, they're got yous. Whereas if I already know about them, it's like, eh, I knew I was getting into this.
My thanks to Matthew, to Greg Morris, and to Leo Morani. And my thanks to you for listening to this Eye on Travel podcast. For more conversations with the world's leaders in travel, be sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. And for all the breaking travel news, just travel over to petergreenberg.com.
Special thanks to our sponsors at Clear. Enroll in Clear at clearme.com/Peter and zip through busy airports nationwide.
Hey, Prime members, Peter Greenberg here. You can listen to Eye on Travel ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, and you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.